from 90.7 WFAE. This is Newsworthy for Monday, April 20th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. East Charlotte residents planned to push back against a controversial rezoning petition for a new data center today. Now, the rezoning petitioner has asked Charlotte City Council to delay the public hearing. Zachary Turner has more.
Facing public backlash, American Towers requested a deferral on the public hearing to May 18th. The company operates a wireless communications tower and small data storage facility on 58 acres near the Reedy Creek Nature Preserve. It plans to expand those operations on site to build a data center that would sell server space to small to medium-sized businesses. East Charlotte resident Jeffrey Chen lives nearby and helped organize a petition against the company's rezoning request.
People don't want this in a neighborhood, then it shouldn't be built. That's at least my vision of how democracy in this city should work.
The petition has over 4,000 signatures as of Friday morning. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
The North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services is reporting a roughly 50% rise in the number of Legionnaire's disease cases statewide last year. WFDD's David Ford has more.
Legionnaire's disease is a serious type of pneumonia that's caused by Legionella bacteria that thrive in moist, wet environments between 77 and 113 degrees, places like hot tubs and water fountains. People get sick when they breathe in mist or vapor that's been contaminated with the bacteria. As cases increased from 201 to 310 last year, DHHS is sharing some basic precautions residents can take. Here's Medical Director Dr. Erica Wilson.
To prevent it, you need to keep things flushed, so your faucets, showers, garden hoses, keep your hot water heater above the temperature where it likes to grow so that you don't get growth in the hot water heater. Taking special care if you have medical devices like a CPAP machine.
Most at risk are smokers, people over 50, and those with chronic lung disease or compromised immune systems. I'm David Ford.
Most of North and South Carolina is in severe or extreme drought. Kenneth Lee has more on what could change this status.
Cabarrus, Mecklenburg, and other surrounding Charlotte area counties are dealing with an extended period of drought. In both Carolinas, a burn ban is in effect until further notice. Over the weekend in the Charlotte area, the National Weather Service is forecasting some rain, but it will not be enough to end the drought. NWS meteorologist Mike Renberg said it would be ideal for multiple days of rain to fall.
Maybe we get an inch, one event, and then we get another half inch a few days later, something like that, right? So that we're sort of building up multiple inches of rainfall to recover from those deficits.
Renberg also noted that within the I-77 corridor, 2 to 5 inches of rainfall deficit would be needed to see improvements in a drought status. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
UNC Charlotte's Center for Migration and Diaspora Studies hosted a two-day conference in Uptown Charlotte on migration, including the impacts of federal immigration enforcement. Julian Berger has more from the event.
The conference brings together professors, students, and community partners to discuss how immigration shapes local communities. One panel discussion on Friday covered the community's response to Border Patrol's enforcement in November, called Operation Charlotte's Web. The panelists focused on the operation's impact on immigrant families and how different nonprofits assisted immigrant families. The Latin American Coalition's Family Wellness Center manager, Arba Sanchez, spoke on the panel.
It's extremely important because being present allows us to have an opportunity to share about our community needs. So this is something that should concern every person that is living in Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County.
The panel also touched on the ongoing needs, including mental health support to immigrants and repairing trust between immigrants and the local government. Julian Berger, WFAE News.
Supporters of building express toll lanes on I-77 in South Charlotte often say it's the only way to widen the congested highway. They point to a statewide cap of $600 million for new highway projects, and that collecting toll revenue is the only way to bridge a financial gap of more than $2.5 billion between that cap and the total cost for I-77. But Steve Harrison has been looking into a different highway widening in Gaston County, where officials have found a way around this problem. He spoke to our Nick Delacanal.
Steve, let's first, just do a quick review of what's gotten people so upset about I-77 close to home. Yeah, Nick, the main thing is that the Department of Transportation's plans to add 2 express toll lanes in each direction will demolish 36 homes. Some historically black neighborhoods near Center City say the widened highway will further divide them from uptown, just as the original construction of I-77 did in the late 1960s and 70s. And there are some critics who just don't like toll lanes. They look at the 7-year-old toll lanes on I-77 in North Mecklenburg and say those haven't done much to relieve congestion in the free general purpose lanes. And they're asking, why are we going to do this again?
Okay, so how about that question? Why are we doing this again?
Well, one of the starting points is that corridor cap you mentioned earlier. State law limits how much money you can put into any one highway corridor over a 5-year period. The idea is that one project shouldn't hog all of the state's money. And like you said earlier, that cap is $600 million. The DOT says the toll lanes for I-77 cost $3.2 billion, so there's a math problem. They say they need the tolls to make up that big difference.
Right, but then you looked at our neighbor in Gaston County, where 10 miles of I-85 is being widened for $1.5 billion. So how are they doing that?
The I-85 project in Gaston is subject to that same corridor cap as I-77, roughly $600 million. So what Gaston transportation planners and the DOT did there is they broke up the 10-mile project into 3 smaller, separate projects. They submitted each one to the state's funding formula, and each of the 3 segments was approved for funding. Construction starts this year and will last until 2033, so the highway will go from 6 lanes to 8 lanes total, and there will be no toll lanes. It's all being paid for by the state. Now, real quick, I should say this. The 10-mile Gaston project is only $1.5 billion, while the 11-mile I-77 project in Charlotte is expected to cost $3.2 billion.
Right, more than twice as much. But one reason that our project is so much more expensive is because it's much bigger and much more complicated, right?
Yeah, exactly. I-85 in Gaston adds only 2 new lanes total. And one reason I-77 is so much more expensive is because it would add a total of 4 toll lanes, all reserved for people willing to pay. That means more bridges need to be demolished. It means more land has to be bought. It means special on and off ramps. And if you scaled back I-77 to adding just 2 new free lanes, the cost would drop significantly, probably saving $1 billion or more. And just one more thing to think about. I-77 already has 4 lanes through Center City, a stretch of the highway that doesn't experience nearly as much congestion as the area south of uptown. So not much new construction work needs to be done in that area.
And I guess that would mean much less impact to those historically black neighborhoods.
Yeah, it would certainly have less impact than the current plan of 2 elevated toll lanes in each direction.
So did Charlotte ever say, let's look at a simpler plan, let's do what Gaston County is doing for I-85?
No. I talked to Brad Richardson. He's the chair of the Charlotte Regional Transportation Planning Organization, which is the key decision maker for I-77. He said the group just always assumed the project would be toll lanes and didn't consider anything else. The city of Charlotte wants this network of toll lanes across the county. I-77 North, I-485 South, eventually Independence Boulevard. City leaders believe it's the best way to manage congestion long term because it gives people who can afford it a guaranteed travel time. And now we find ourselves in 2026 with the city council struggling to find a compromise on I-77 that pleases mostly black residents and also pleases the Charlotte Regional Business Alliance, which really wants the toll lanes.
So would council members consider starting over and following Gaston County's lead?
Perhaps, but that's going to be really hard for them. It would require a lot of assertiveness to demand the DOT to start over and that everyone do a lot of work. So stay tuned.
Well, that is WFAE's Steve Harrison. Steve, thank you.
Thanks, Nick.
North Carolina's state tax incentives for data centers are some of the most forgiving in the entire country. As data centers increasingly become a political flashpoint, advocates and some politicians are questioning whether the projects should receive these tax breaks. Adam Wagner reports from Raleigh in our final installment of the series, Hyperscale Hyperspeed.
North Carolina is one of 37 states that offers tax incentives to data centers. Here, that means data centers don't have to pay state sales and use tax on their construction projects, the cost of buying equipment like servers or the electricity they use to power their facilities. North Carolina passed its first data center tax exemption in 2006, widening it in 2010 and again in 2015. Governor Josh Stein says the assumptions that justified the tax breaks no longer make sense.
Because data centers at that point were a brand new industry, they benefited from financial incentives to induce capital to invest. Those days are long gone, given the trillions of dollars of capital that is flowing freely into data center construction. They simply do not need economic incentives.
Stein is asking the North Carolina Energy Policy Task Force to recommend overhauling or repealing the incentives. The Democratic governor formed the bipartisan task force last year to discuss ways to meet rising electricity demand while also considering power affordability. Data center industry officials say the tax incentives help push companies to upgrade to new, more energy-efficient equipment. Here's Dan DiIorio of the Data Center Coalition, an industry trade group.
By having a sales tax exemption program on the books, you're fostering the continuous reinvestment into the facility itself. You're fostering the purchase of new energy-efficient equipment, and you're creating significant economic activity around that.
DiIorio says data centers are constantly swapping out servers, with an average lifespan of 3 to 5 years. And new chips are as much as 25% more energy-efficient than their older counterparts. DiIorio also argues that without the tax incentives, data center developers likely wouldn't turn their attention toward North Carolina.
It is a key factor in making North Carolina a competitive marketplace for data center development. And really for North Carolina, I think emerging now as a strong and growing market.
A 2023 study produced for the Data Center Coalition found that the industry directly supports more than 15,000 jobs in North Carolina and indirectly supports more than 87,000 positions. The coalition says the industry was contributing more than $12 billion to the state's GDP. One aspect of North Carolina's data center tax exemption is that the companies aren't required to report what they would have otherwise paid in state taxes. That makes it difficult to track the effectiveness and impact of the incentives, says Kasia Tarchenska of watchdog group Good Jobs First.
Somehow, with the sales tax exemptions for data centers, neither the public nor the government knows how much they're losing. This is a huge problem for accountability. This is a structural problem that can be fixed very easily if only the government and lawmakers wanted to fix it.
To that end, Stein directed the State Department of Commerce to estimate the impact of the tax break. Department officials estimate that it is resulting in between $45 and $57 million in lost revenue annually. That figure could rise to as high as $450 million if all of the data centers planned for the state are built. Additionally, North Carolina would miss out on $1.5 to $2.3 billion in tax revenue during construction. Representative Pricey Harrison is a Democrat from Guilford County. She says she will introduce legislation during the short session to repeal the exemption and expects to have Republican co-sponsors.
We can't be handing out the equivalent of taxpayer funds to polluting industries that are not very neighborly.
Any changes to the tax exemptions would require the cooperation of Republicans who control the North Carolina General Assembly. I'm Adam Wagner.
This story is the final installment of a reporting collaboration between BPR News, the NC Newsroom, WFAE, and WUNC News. You can hear any stories in the series you may have missed at WFAE.org. And for Monday, April 20th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.